Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
And I'm Matthew. And for this segment, we are joined by Ben, Kyle, and Gwen from AMA and USA. I'm sorry, UAS for STEM. I apologize.
There's a lot of acronyms in there.
A lot of acronyms. Yeah, thank you for being here, everyone.
So on a high level, what is AMA and what is UAS for STEM?
So I'll take the AMA question. We've been around since 1936. We fly model aviation, and we do it for the hobby, the sport, and even future career spaces. If it flies and there's not a person in it, that's our organization.
So you guys were, all of the people who, were predecessing drones and do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Multi-rotors, single rotors, dual, all the things. It's a lot of fun. And we've primarily focused on that sport and hobby side of things for many, many decades. But, as drones have become more a state of, everything, we've expanded quite a bit into those career opportunities, trying to guide people into that so that they understand not only can you take something that you enjoy doing and you have fun with and you have lots of friends that do it with you, you can actually expand that to a career pathway that is so rewarding in so many ways.
So what is UAS for STEM, and how does that relate to the AMA?
Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take it. So UAS for STEM is kind of a precision drone flying competition, so really focusing on that multi-rotor setup. Usually it's four different propellers, and it's more of kind of the heavy lift. How can you use this in utility spaces? And so you'll do this precision flying, demonstrating your skills there. You'll have some more engineering side of things, doing various drops, pickups of objects. You might be doing some inspections, doing some photography, trying to figure out different points on the ground. And then there's a very technical side to it as well, where you're doing deep flight review and going through presentations and really showcasing everything that you've learned and your whole kind of iterative design process.
So is the competition the same every year, where you're doing the same course every year, or does that change up from year to year?
It changes quite a bit year to year, and so it's usually, it goes with, everything else happening in the environment and in the industry. So a couple of years ago, one of the big things that was starting to come out was AI, and so the competition was able to be adjusted a little bit. We started building some really unique AI neural network solutions, and that technology has just continued to grow. And this year, watching the various presentations by the teams, it's apparent just how much of a forefront that's really taken, where this AI you're using to do image recognition and calculate all these different points on the ground. It's really quite fascinating. And of course, it's taken a lot more of a search and rescue or maybe a utility perspective as those needs have grown with drones.
Now, I'm impressed to hear how many different aspects this covers. It sounds like there's a lot of different opportunities for people with different interests, right? So what might a person expect if they get involved? How would they find something that matches them?
Yeah, so the nice thing is these teams are built of 4 to 10 students, and that's quite a few students. That means we have a lot of different opportunities to engage with those students, right? Not only are we duplicating some of the roles so that we have a trainee and a trainer within the team itself, but we also have a very wide range of youth participation, so ages 11 to 19. So that means you're naturally going to progress within the competition. It's set up to be very sustainable as a team so that you see those same students year after year, and, 1 year they might be kind of, following along and watching and observing and not quite, aware of everything. And the next few years they become the leaders within that same team.
Well, they get a chance to develop their skills and find the niche, and their interests can change along with the program.
Absolutely. Gwen, do you want to talk about some of like the other aspects, maybe some of the video aspects?
Yeah, so part of UAS for STEM is kind of exploring all the different avenues and different ways that they can share about UAS for STEM. So we do have students produce a student-produced video. The beginner teams will do kind of a promotional video so that people can, learn about UAS for STEM, can get interested, and then the advanced teams are, like Kyle said, using their experience to kind of guide the newer teams. So they're producing student videos to give tips and tricks to the brand new teams as they continue to get started in their UAS for STEM experience. Mm.
So when the team builds a drone, are they able to reuse that drone from year to year, or is there rules about you have to like start from scratch every time?
Yeah, good question. So we've built this to be a very sustainable program. So the first year you're going to have some extra effort where you're building, you're learning, going through the 107 coursework, all of that. But at the same time, though, they get to take that same drone and expand on that year after year after year. There might be some components that change based on the mission set that we get them for that year. Or there might be some additional components that they need. We might include LiDAR 1 year. We might include a pickup mechanism or a drop mechanism that they have to design and engineer for themselves. But the idea is that they can take that same drone, and then once it gets to the point where it's been crashed more than a few times, it's more duct tape than anything. At that point, it becomes kind of their beater drone, if you will. It's where they take and provide that to the beginner teams. Hey, practice with this one. This one's our competition drone, and you see that expansion.
So, say I have a kid who's interested in participating in UAS for drones, but I don't know anything about drones, and that's not my bailiwick. How do I help my kids start a team? What resources are there for somebody who wants to get into it, either as an adult mentoring a team or as a kid to start a team?
Go ahead, Gwen.
Oh, I was going to say, on our UASforSTEM.org website, we do have a new team guide, which is a wonderful resource for anybody who would be interested in exploring the competition and seeing what it would look like, what their involvement would look like. It goes through all the different schedules, all the different aspects of the competition, everything that you need to do. So we spent a lot of time developing that so that we could assist those new teams coming in. We know that it's a great competition and it might seem a little overwhelming, so we want to make sure that we provide them with everything that they need to get started.
Now, cost is obviously going to be an issue, especially in, for some people, they may not be able to afford to just go buy a drone and do all this stuff. Do you guys have any resources for either helping a new team get started or instructions on how do you do fundraising to run your team and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we offer some support. We have the AMA Foundation that comes alongside every season and devotes a certain amount of money for those new teams as they come in. Because, again, we know they're buying their drone components, then they're buying that equipment. That's going to be a little bit of an extra cost. So we want to try to help those new teams. The other thing that we do is, since we do go through a Part 107 coursework within the team, as those teams grow and develop, those aircraft can be utilized for those operations. So they'll go and they'll get their 107s, and then they'll start doing work in the real world environment to help continue to develop those teams, but also develop the purse for that team.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit more, because you mentioned at the beginning how the competition and the teamwork and the whole program prepares people for the future. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Where have you seen that go and have this lead into future careers, or maybe in aviation, maybe not?
Yeah, absolutely. So UAS for STEM in itself, it's STEM is in the name, right? Mm-hmm. So science, technology, engineering, and math. So you're getting a lot of these multidisciplinary skills within engineering. You're also getting lots of marketing, kind of business administration.
Communication.
And a lot of communication, yeah. So you're really developing almost kind of your own product team here, where it's a little bit of a business. And so those soft skills you learn are incredibly valuable. And then, of course, on the technical side, all of the stuff you're learning there, whether it's with AI, working with, a couple of years ago we did stuff with NVIDIA, Jetson, Nanos, and things like this. These are compute units. Industry uses those exact same devices. And so those same skills you're using can directly correlate to industry. When I had done a bunch of work with UAS for STEM, I went into an internship with a drone company, and it was I was amazed because the same basic principles you use with UAS for STEM is very, very similar across the entire industry.
I see. So it works with the industry. There's, I'm sure, advantages to working with those. How about any collegiate or educational partnerships that you guys may have or leading into a post-secondary education?
Yeah, definitely. So we work with the FAA CTI program. So there's a lot of universities that are out there, great programs that are bringing drones into their spaces and developing associate's degrees and even full-fledged bachelor's degrees, master's within that kind of a subset or skill set. And so through them, we talk about the competition, we talk about these students, how they can be brought in as networked students into their programs. So we've got universities that are interested in hosting those teams, helping them to develop, offering up some of their spaces or their resources or even their printers to help them create products. It's really cool.
And Ben, you went through the program as a student, correct?
Yes.
And now what are you doing with the, you're still in the program though, correct? What are you doing now with them?
So now I get to come back and I get to help judge, and it's incredible because I get to see how the program is maturing over the years. And I have a much more, I guess you could say, personal connection with the teams where I've been in their shoes. And so when they're up there presenting and nervous, you know, you can be a bit reassuring, and you can talk to them, you know, before and after the competition, and really say, hey, you know, you can see where I am now, and I can see where you guys are at, and you can see just how much you're going to grow going forward. You know, you finish up UAS for STEM, but the skills don't leave you.
And speaking of seeing where we're at, let's make sure that we have some time to talk about the resources you have here at on-site at AirVenture 26.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're continuing to do a lot of control line flying out at KidVenture, of course. There's also simulators you can check out, especially if you've got some of the younger students or younger at heart that want to try out this model aviation stuff and radio control. It's a great, you know, no factor way to do it, no problems. We're also doing what we call buddy boxing, and that means you can actually have a flight experience with a transmitter in your hand flying an actual aircraft in the skies here at AirVenture, and you've got a pilot next to you that can take over if you need to, but they're also there to train you, to help you, to guide you through the process, so it should be no stress. It's, you know, if you get it
flying from the ground.
Absolutely. It's amazing. So we offer that as an opportunity for people to get excited about the hobby of model aviation, and, you know, obviously knowing these career paths that you can go into with it. There's also evening flying. So tonight and tomorrow night, we will be doing evening flying out at Pioneer Field. That'll be from 6:30 to 8:30 each evening. Again, we will have what we call buddy boxing there, and we'll also have model aviation happening.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of stuff going on, and hopefully, if you're here on the field, some people will come check it out. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment. We do appreciate everybody coming in. We have Kyle, Gwen, and Ben from AMA and UAS for STEM, and you're listening to EAA Radio.